Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 259. It is Memorial Day weekend, 2018, and this one's going to be called New Episode. Reason for that is because the last episode was back in late March, I believe, and here it is late May. I took a little bit of a podcast hiatus, had a lot of other things going on in my life, and producing a show was just always that third thing that I needed to get done, and then I had to keep adding other things to my, just things I needed, wanted to do, and it's really been increasingly difficult just to find quiet time where I had the motivation to produce the show for everybody to listen to and put something together that was worthwhile. Had a lot of stuff kind of going on. One of the biggest things is that I did a lot of gardening this spring and really filled up a lot of my time with getting my backyard a little bit super sweet this year, the way I wanted it to look, for especially for Mother's Day. And it worked out really good. My wife and I worked real hard on getting things, some stuff split up, some things moved. Flowers have been coming in real nice. Got some improved like the mulch beds, and just really worked hard on the backyard. And it's just kind of something that we had decided we wanted to do this year. Over the years, we kind of maybe did it like 3/4. You know, we'd get a load of mulch and work on the mulch beds and the flower beds and get it looking real nice. And then it would kind of, after the first real hard rainstorm, kind of, you know, mess up. We would come back and we just kind of periodically would go out there and tend to it. But this spring has been a completely different situation. Been doing a lot more in the evenings, a lot more on the weekends, and got a lot of been getting a lot of enjoyment out of it. Here it is late March. We've had a couple heavy rainstorms that kind of floated some of my mulch away, but I just get back out there and tend to it. And so that's what I've been doing with a lot of my time. I also had some other things going on. Of course, I turned 49, so I didn't necessarily get depressed about that, but you know, another year closer to 50, and so that brings on a whole host of other things that that I want to do in my life. One being start a new career after next year, after I'm eligible to retire from my police job, and then I'm gonna do an interview, play an interview here with my friend Keith, who has a podcast. Tim, oh, I'll mention it here in a second when it comes to me. And in that interview, I let out a little bit of information about something I'm planning for next year. So I don't want to mention that until after the interview, and I'll play that here in a little bit. But we also had our cat die about a month ago. And he was a really cool cat. His name was Abraham Lincoln. We called him Junior for short. And just a real quick history on him, maybe less than a minute. This cat, we had him for 6 years. He kind of showed up at our house one day as like a kitten. And I was out of town when he showed up, and he kind of adopted us in a way. And he never really was what I would consider a cat. You know, I'm not a cat person. I never really liked him that much. I don't want to hurt him or anything, but I never really saw myself as someone who wanted to get a cat. And but shortly after this guy came around and I got to know him a little bit, he was an outside cat. He would just come in, and then after a while, we'd let him stay in during the day, and then he would just go out at night. He really grew on me and became, I kind of started nicknaming him Blue Junior after our dog, because our dog's name is Blue. And then I just kind of started calling him Junior. And the reason for that is on the weekends, I would walk the dog. It's my turn on Saturday and Sunday to walk the dog in the morning. My wife does it during the weekdays, and I'd get Blue leashed up and we'd go out for our morning walk. And then Junior would find us and he would follow us around the block, or if I went 2 blocks for the walk, he would follow us around and kind of just acted like a little secondary dog. And so that's how he kind of got the nickname Junior. And it was, you know, there. And here's the weird thing. There are actually some times I went a little bit farther thinking, well, maybe he'll get lost and go away. I mean, I know that sounds bad now, but that's kind of how it felt in the early years when we had him, because I didn't really want a responsibility for a cat. Especially after, because he was free, you know, he just showed up except for getting him shots after we took him to the vet, after we realized he was going to be here for a little bit. Then he decided to chew his tail off. So the free cat was like $620 for surgery to have his tail amputated. And then we started calling Mr. Halftail, HT, this kind of stuff. And he really grew on me, and then it turned into a situation where he would get up in my magic chair with me and sit with me and cuddle and that kind of stuff. And so in a lot of ways, he was kind of a lap dog, and he just got sick one day, and he died under the back deck. And we found out that on a Monday morning, and I knew Monica, my wife, had crawled under there and knew he was dead. And so I knew I went to work that day knowing I'd be dealing with that when I came home. So when I came home from work that day, I went up, climbed up under there and had to pull him out, and he was clearly dead. And so I buried him that evening, and we've missed him. And there have been some times where I'll be sitting in my chair watching. I call it my magic chair, because whenever I'm in my magic chair, really the only thing I hear is the television. I don't hear any of the female voices that speak to me in my house until they step pretty much right into my point of view. But there are some times I'd be sitting in my chair and I would think that I saw his shadow kind of walk up on the back porch, you know, wanting to come in. Or I would see him come down the steps. It'd be like a little shadow would be on the, we have a land, like 6-7 steps and then a landing, and then the stairs go the opposite direction and to go upstairs in our house. And a lot of times he'd spend time upstairs, find a little place, and he'd come down and kind of hang halfway down the stairs and sit there, and then he'd come all the way down. And there was sometimes I kind of felt like I saw a little movement over there. I mean, this is after he was dead. I know it wasn't him, but it felt weird. There were a couple of times I kind of did a double take, and I'm skeptical of everything. You know? So I was thinking maybe if his spirit is still in the house. So that's kind of cool. But he's buried in the backyard. I put a little cross up, even though animals don't have souls. So that happened too, and that was a real sad time, especially for my daughter, because she really got attached to him. One of the other things that went on in the interim between the two shows, the last show in late March and today, is, of course, the railroad run, which was back in mid-April about. I ran that. I was the starter again this year. I was honored to be asked to come back and do that. This year, I used a starter pistol that was provided by the timing person. And there's three events in this race. There's the 5K, which starts at 8 o'clock a.m., the kids' race, which is a one-miler. And then there's the 10K, which starts at 9 o'clock. So it has, because a lot of people who do the 5K turn around and do the 10K, and they call it the Center of the Universe Challenge. So people come out and get two runs in. I think they pay an extra $10 just to do the 5K for the timing on both. And so the race timer, Racing Unlimited was the name of the company that did the timing. They had a starter pistol in their little plastic bin, and I asked if I could use that. And he said, sure. So, and when I pulled the pistol out, it was right next to some earmuffs. And I thought, I wonder why he's got earmuffs in there. It didn't even dawn on me until I pulled the trigger for the 5K. Of course, I warned everybody I was getting ready to pull the gun out of my pocket, because you know how things are these days. Unfortunately, if all of a sudden I pulled a gun out, people might start freaking out. So I warned everybody that I was getting ready to pull out a starter pistol out of my pocket, and I was going to shoot it. And the first one was kind of a dud, so I had to pull it the second time. And would you believe that the second time I pulled the trigger, I pulled it right next to my ear, thus the earmuffs. So we went over and started the kids' race. I didn't use the starter pistol for that. I thought that might be a little unwise. I used an air horn. And then at 9, I started the 10K. Again, warned everybody about the pistol, and everything worked out just fine for that. And so what I did is, after I started the race and everybody crossed the starting line, I then ran the race myself with Ashlyn Bob and Ashlyn Bryan and Ashlyn Tom, my regular running group. And we just had a great time. I ran a little bit over an hour, really enjoyed the course. This is the course. This is the same race that I directed several years ago for 4 years in a row. I helped out a year before that in a large role. And that was the year that we redid the course, and didn't get any complaints. Attendance was kind of lower this year. I don't feel like the race was marketed as much as it has in the past. It's sponsored by the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. But it was a good morning. Weather was good, and I think everybody had a good time. The winner of the 10K, the females, was Leah Schubel at 40 minutes, 7 seconds. She is out of Richmond, Virginia. And then Drew Rabin won for the men, and he was out of Savannah, Georgia, at 37 minutes, 30 seconds. So it's a pretty good field. I don't have the 5K. The reason I don't have the 5K results, that's not a certified course. That's just something we measured, kind of ran at mile and a half out. What is it? No, whatever half of 3.1 is, 1.55 out of my Garmin. sprayed the road with spray paint, and then came back. And so we knew what a starting line was. And then I checked that again with some different people's devices. And so it's not a certified course, but it's a pretty approximate. But the 10K course is a certified course. And that's why I gave those time. So we had a really good time that day. I just wish more people would come. Dr. Smitty didn't make it up this year. Like I said, there was one point in time in all three events, we had about 500 participants. And that's pretty good size for a town of about 7,000 people, of over half of which don't even run. And it's neat to bring a lot of people to the center of the universe. And I'm honored to be asked to be the starter, and hopefully I will again next year. So summer plans for me this summer is really just to run the Patrick Henry Half Marathon and then the Richmond Half Marathon in the fall. And I think I'm already registered for that. And I'll do that with Ashlyn Bryan, and then go into the winter to prepare for what I hope to do, the Light to Light 50 again, 50 miler in February. And then that's going to propel me into something, some other plans I have for late spring of next year. But that's next year. And like I said, I'm going to talk about that towards the end of the show after I play the interview with my friend Keith. Of course, I've got the email bag closer towards the end of the show. Got a lot of cool emails, especially folks that I asked to check in reference to the 10th anniversary podcast, which was the last one, which was episode 258. Really appreciated people writing in. And that was part of the reason I needed to get off my duff and get another podcast out, because I got some people asking if I was okay, if I'm going to still do the show, has anything happened? And that's real nice when you get a message like that, because it means that there's somebody's kind of invested a little bit into the show and they're listening to you, and it kind of makes you accountable. And I've said many times before that I do the show not to make money or to get thousands of listeners, because I only have about 200 listeners a show. It's always been an amateur podcast, and it's from the very beginning, I did it to hold myself accountable personally to getting my training runs in, to try to achieve different mileage goals, distance goals, and different events. And the podcast was kind of an offshoot of that. And as the years went on, I mean, it's been 10 years, I've met some really remarkable people that I've become friends with. Some over email, exchanging ideas and having conversations that way. And then others I've become friends in person, and those friendships have become valuable to me. And so that's a byproduct of the podcast, which I did not expect whatsoever going in. Some people who listen to the show might wonder why I don't link my podcast into a Twitter or a Facebook or all these other social media platforms. The reason is because I just can't really keep up with all that. I feel like if I just focus any feedback for the show or comments into an email environment, I'm able to manage that. That's kind of how my brain works. It's hard enough just to for me to work with these other social media with stuff I do for my job, because I've got some undercover social media accounts because of types of cases that I work with my job, and no one's gonna ever know what those usernames are. But that's just the nature of the job I have, and so as a result, when I'm not doing that for work or for anything, I tend to just kind of be a consumer of information and not one that produces information. So the podcast is really, I guess, my social media platform. So I'm going to move into my interview with Keith. It's about 18 minutes long. The reason I want to put this out there is because Keith is going to be attempting something pretty remarkable this fall, and I'm going to be following him, and I'm very, very curious to see how he works out. The interview was done up at the caboose while we had some beers, so there is some background noise, but you can hear the conversation. Keith's podcast is posted over at 210.47.com. It's TWOTIM, and then the numbers 47.com. It's a faith-based podcast. He has some excellent interviews on his podcast. It's not all about prayer and religion, but that is a major component of it. And the reason I like it is because the way he applies it towards his efforts to do distance running. And he's going to be running attempting what's called the Georgia Jewel. And that is in September of this year, and he's going to talk about that in the podcast, or in the interview. Or it's really more of a conversation, not an interview.
All right, so you're...
Can I get that La Bella Choppa?
What side would you like?
Let me get what a pasta sound. All right.
So you picked a race.
Yes, the Georgia Jewels. weekend in September.
And it's a 50K?
Oh, no, it's a 35-mile race. They actually have 150, 35, and 17-mile races all on the same day.
That's an interesting distance, but it's, I mean, it's not unheard of. But so it's more than a 50K. It's actually 35 miles, and it's in the mountains.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So what? Why that? Why did you pick that one, and why are you jumping up? Why are you going to the ultra distance at this point?
Well,
I knew you would eventually. But
well, I know a lot. So I do a podcast like you do, and I interviewed this girl that I met online, Jenny Baker, and I met her because a buddy of mine, Harvey Lewis, who runs crazy ultra races, he did a series at Thanksgiving featuring all these different runners, and most of them were vegans. That was kind of the connection.
Oh, okay.
She was a big runner, and I was fascinated by her story, so I ended up interviewing her on my podcast. Well, it came out in the podcast that her and her husband, through a strange story of its own, have come to become the race directors of the Georgia Jewel. And so that sort of planted the seed in me. I when I talked to her, there was no way I was, it didn't even pop in my head, oh, I gotta go run the Georgia Jewel. That was nowhere there. But then after I interviewed her, I interviewed this guy who last year, actually, he ran a marathon in every state and on all seven continents in 1 year. And I asked him why he kept, right, he ran 50 marathons and then seven other marathons on seven continents in a year. Eternal endurance is what he goes by.
Wow.
But I asked him this question. I said,
it makes me feel very small.
I said, why do you keep doing these things? Because he took up running to quit smoking. That was his whole thing. And so now all of a sudden here he is 2 years later running 50 marathons and seven. But I asked him why he kept doing it, and he said because he's trying to figure out what his limits are. And he's a guy of great faith, so he said, I believe with God, I'm not sure I'll find my limits, but I'm going to keep chasing them. And that really kept eating at me, this whole what's my limits thing, what's my limits thing. And, you know, so I've hung around guys like you who I've always been intrigued to run these big, long distances. I've been fascinated with Harvey Lewis, who runs, you know, the 24-hour national races. He's run Badwater, won Badwater.
Yeah, that's. So then, I think that, from what I understand, that's the hardest on earth.
It's just a crazy, crazy race
about that.
Yeah,
and you know, your shoes melting.
Yeah, right. Well, he's. So anyhow, I started just kind of joking around. I needed to do something. Then I ran the Little Rock Marathon with a friend of mine, and she actually ran with me at Run the Bluegrass like a month later, and we kept joking around about doing some sort of crazy race, and then one thing led to another, and next thing we're registered for the Georgia
Jewel. But you've got a connection. You, like, everything's connected with you. You don't just show up as a stranger.
No.
So you're going to know people there already.
I'm going to run with this friend of mine, okay. And then I know Jenny, and Jenny and I are going to do a series of podcast interviews leading
she's
up to.
She and her husband are the race directors.
Yeah, they're the race directors.
All right, Georgia Jewel, September. All right, well, yeah, you'll definitely find your limits. I could go on for at least 20 minutes about that and how you try to chase that. But let me ask, tell me more about, so how are you going to prepare for it? I know when I saw you at the Brock Center a couple weeks ago, I think I mentioned something to you about it. It's mileage.
Yeah.
The mileage is like having another job.
Yeah. Now, you had told me that before, and I've, like I said, the last 2 months have been my biggest mileage months ever. I ran 100 miles in March. I did 110 miles in April. So I'm steadily going to keep.
You got a good base.
Then. Yeah, I ran a 27-mile run on Friday for my birthday. I went out and ran 27 miles. My birthday was on the 27th.
Oh.
I turned 54. My birthday's on the 27th. So I went out and ran 27 miles. And so,
last Friday.
Yeah. My legs are still a little wobbly. And one day, it took me 6 hours and 15 minutes, but I did it.
You were still upright.
Oh, yeah. So the good news was, at 27, I knew I only had 8 more to go to get the Jewel. Now, I ran here in Ashland, so there wasn't so much as a hill. Although I did go out. I went on James to Brighton, I had to go out that way. But, you know, that's a confidence builder, knowing I got plenty of time.
Yeah.
What is your name?
Brandon.
Brandon, okay. Hey, no, I'm Dave. I've seen you in here before.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get a Firestone? When you get a chance. Thanks.
Hey, I've seen him on.
I've seen him here.
I'm curious about your efforts because my last one, the Belmonte, I quit. I don't know if I told you briefly. It was a DNF. I did a whole podcast about it, of course.
Oh, I need to hear that.
And, that one just kicked, so that's what's left of it. It'll die down in just a second for you.
All right. Well, it looks like you got the last one or somebody else did. Yeah, but I'm not that crazy about that much. I made to 21. I got the car and I said, I'm done. I thought I was going to get hurt. Not falling down. Like, I was going to muscle something that one of the muscles in the back of my leg was going to pull out, going back up. Because I knew it was an out and back. The 50 miler was an out and back. The 50K, which was really 33 or 34 miles, it wasn't 30. Because it was 17.1 out. No, wait a minute. It wasn't that far. I had it all measured. The turnaround was at 17 miles, so it was 34.
Okay.
And I knew what I was facing on the way back. And, of course, I had promised, you know, I don't know if I'm telling you, my first 50-miler, I was out of work for 2 weeks because I burned my feet from blistering. Like, this is your toes, the skin just macerated. And I couldn't walk. I was in a wheelchair. And that was unexpected. I plan to take the time off. No, I always take the week off after all.
Right.
It felt kind of silly taking the week off after this one because I had not finished. Anyway, my point is, I wasn't ready for the hills. And, there was a mountain. There's a Blue Ridge Mountains. And what part of Georgia is this one in?
It's northern Georgia.
So, like, where they have the ski resort. Because I know the guy, people don't know that there's actually a ski resort in Georgia. But they have skiing there in the winter. So, yeah, you'll have to do...
Now, there's about 5,000 feet of elevation gain. There's a big Johns Mountain, it's called.
Well, you can prepare for that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the people that you're talking to, you know, I'm sure you'll get lots of unsolicited advice. But my issue was that I was not mountain trained. Now, I had the distance. I'd done the 50-miler. I did the 50-mile in the Outer Banks in February. That was flat. And there are people that don't like that. I like flat and straight because it gets right in here.
Yeah.
And you really get messed with.
Yeah.
And you know, at the beach, man, everything looks the same.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just house after beach house after beach house. So I took it for granted. So that's the only thing I would throw out is.
Yeah. Well, I had a guy today tell me. It's funny you just said that. He told me, and he's an ultra runner out in Oregon. But he said, make sure if you've got a 2,000 foot climb, don't kid yourself into thinking you can go somewhere and just do 100 foot hill repeats. It's not the same thing. You need to go replicate exactly what you're going to do. That's
where
we'll have to go over there, you know, every other week or something, do long runs over there. So that's what he said, replicate what you're going to do. He said, don't overcomplicate it. You just got to figure out what the course profile is.
You know, we're close enough that we're close enough that you can go out.
Yeah.
Get up early enough on a Saturday or whatever day you choose. Drive up there, take the fuel with you, park the car, and run and make up. Because now I know where I got beat. So I know where I can park the car because that's where Monica picked me up. But I don't have a desire to. I don't know. Maybe someday I'll go back and do it. But yeah, it's hard. The ups and downs, and then you know, not just that, but your foot moves around in your shoe. You ordered it. And your foot moves around in your shoe. And I don't know. Does this have water crossings and stuff? Does this one have water crossings?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to have support? Or I guess you haven't thought everything out yet.
No.
They probably don't even have registration on
it. No, I'm registered.
You're registered. Okay, that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
No.
Registered. All right, so you pulled the trigger. Was it expensive?
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
It was $85.
You get a lot of stuff sometimes with your money. I was
was in, where was I this past weekend? I was up in Annapolis, and I went under the bed on Thursday to get out. We got this big duffel bag, and I pulled out another duffel bag, and it was one that I got from a trail race I did in Mississippi that I completely forgot about. This big duffel bag with the race logo on the side. I completely forgot. I got that. Got the medal for finishing. Got a coffee mug, stickers, a shirt. I got some other kind of medallion. Or sometimes you get a lot of swag from some of these.
Right.
And other times, all they have is a little magnet for you at the end.
No, I think they do it upright. Jenny, okay. They've got
it's not, it's not always medals.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got a belt buckle. I got a belt buckle for finishing it. So, but then I've done one at Farmville, which is an out and back on the, what's that trail out there? The one that goes over the Appomattox River? The you know what I'm talking about? The one at Farmville?
Yeah.
You get to the end and you get a magnet. A fridge magnet. For finishing. So that's the joke about ultras, is sometimes there's nothing. But anyway, it sounds like this one.
Nah, they do it up.
Stuff.
They do it upright. They're good.
Well, they're probably going to have buckles for the 100-mile finishers. That's a traditional thing. Okay.
And that won't be me.
34, 35.
But it is a long term. I got a long term goal of running a 100-mile race. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, every milestone I hit, I start thinking of what's
well,
next.
Remember when you didn't even think the half was possible?
No, I know. Yeah.
And you were agonizing. I knew you when you were agonizing over those.
I know.
And now look at it.
Yeah.
So it's funny how your brain then wraps around the
mirror. Yeah.
And now you're trying to wrap around
right.
something else.
And the whole trail running thing really appeals to me. I mean, I think I've been reading people running trails, and I don't know. I think it'll be something that'll really capture me. Just there's a spiritual piece to it, I think. I don't think I'll get in road racing and just...
I know that's a big part of it for you, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Is your family going to go down? Or are you going to do it so?
It'll probably be just
me. Well, it's school.
Yeah. The boys will be in school. And a couple of these, you know, I go out of state and I make a long, long trip out of it. But this will probably be down there a couple days and come back.
Well, let's see. If you drove, it's what, 9 hours to Georgia?
Yeah.
I drove to Atlanta one time. I think that was around 9 or 10. I don't even remember. I know it's a long ride down there. Where are we at here?
No.
Well, that's a big step.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you'll be doing, we'll see you running around town a lot more.
No, it'll be, town, but I went, we took a trip Sunday over the north end of the Battlefield Park. I was checking out the trails there. I checked out the trails.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is cool.
Love that Battlefield.
Yeah. Checked out the trails at Poor Farm, and so
Poor Farm is a good place to run. There's some stuff there that'll slow you down to a crawl. Because some of those hills are so steep, you can't ride your bike up. And I think that's. I kept telling myself I was going to get over there. I never did. I just took it for granted. I was so arrogant.
Really good.
I'll never do that again.
I don't know.
I had my ass handed to me.
What's next, though? I mean, surely you're going to pick something to get back on the horse.
Well, I'll do the Patrick Henry half. I think I'm already signed up for the Richmond half. I think I did the early bird. Yeah, I think Brian Klein and I both did, because we ran that together last year and had a great time.
And Brian doing the half.
Definitely going back and doing the Lake to Lake 50 in February down in the Alabama.
Okay.
It was put on. It was a well put on race. It's called Lake to Lake 50. It starts at the Currituck Lighthouse and then it goes down to the Bodie Island Lighthouse and then comes back and finishes at Jeanette's Pier. So it's not technically light to light. It's light to light back to the pier. It was just a real good experience. I had a good finishing time for that distance for me. And I like being down there. And there's nothing I like more than looking at a barrier island and saying, I ran.
Yeah. No.
Because I ran from Marathon Key to Key West, which is 50 miles. And I like looking at that. So, and then, this isn't really for public disclosure yet, but I turn 50 next year. I'll be 49 next year. And there's a race in April called the CNO Canal 100. So
100?
I'd like to at least like at least feel like I deserve to get to the starting line. Why not finish?
Yeah.
That's a long
time. Yeah. Have you ever run 100?
No. The farthest I've done is 100K, which is 62.
Yeah.
Which was from Nag's Head to Hatteras.
But when you say 100, you're talking 100 miles.
100 miles.
Yeah.
It's in Maryland, so it's not that far. If I have to go to the emergency room, so you got to think about stuff like that when you're,
especially when you're 50. Yeah,
when you're 50 and over 200, when you're that old and over 200 pounds, I mean, bad things can happen.
Well, that's what my mom, when I told her I was gonna run this Georgia Jewel, she said, "Oh my God, Keith!" I said, "What? You're gonna kill yourself?" No, I'm healthier than I've been, and I'd weigh less. I'm healthier than I've been, and
well, that's
my blood pressure's way down.
Because when you ran, how heavy were you when you ran the Little Rock Marathon? Then you run that in just
March. I was probably. 227 then. I'm about 17 pounds down from then. I mean, I just ran the Run the Bluegrass Half Marathon. And I PR'd that. That was my fastest half marathon ever. By far, it's the toughest half marathon course
I've ever
run.
I did hear that in your podcast. Okay.
I mean, I ran that thing three times. First time was 3 hours and a minute. Last year, it was 2 hours and 48 minutes. This year, 2 hours and 20. I took 23 minutes off last year. So, I mean, things are definitely
getting better.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be lighter, stronger.
My goal is to run that at 195, which would be almost...
How do you train through the summer? How do you do that?
So it's going to be hard. I swore I'd never do it again. That's why this is...
I mean, last summer, I felt like I was actually threatening my health. It would just be so...
There were about 4 or 5 days last year I threatened to move. Okay, we're moving. I'm not living in this anymore.
So that's going to be the
challenge.
The same.
No, the humidity. That's what the heat does. I was running 90-degree heat. I mean, I've run out in Arizona, 90-degree heat, dry. Montana, 90 and dry. Doesn't faze me at all.
So it's easier
humidity.
When it's dry.
Okay. Oh, it's a lot easier. It's this humidity that just sucks it out of me. I mean, I'm 2 miles in humidity, and I'm already dying.
Oh, yeah.
Left in.
Forget about
it. So it'll be hard, you know, but hopefully.
Right, so.
But last year, well, the last 2 years, Jenny said the Georgia Jewel was upper 80s and humid. Late
it's
September.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost October. Maybe you get a cold front. All right, Georgia Jewel. We'll look that up. Thanks, Keith.
Yep. No.
Yeah, so I had to cut it off. Great conversation with Keith Cartwright. Make sure you check out his podcast at 2tim47.com. It's a good one. And I will put a link to that in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Let me tell you a little bit why I like Keith. Keith's a big guy like me. He is, I don't know if you heard there at the tail end, he said he's hoping to be at 195 come late September for the 35-mile mountain race that he's going to do. And he, last time I saw him at the Brock Center, I saw him, that interview was back right before, I think it was right at the beginning of May, and I saw him the other week at the Brock Center. He definitely lost some weight. He's looking good. He's looking fit. He's 54. He's a stocky guy. He's a muscular type, you know, like not cut like somebody would be who's a track runner. He is like a football muscular type of body type. And the reason I like that is because I feel like I can relate to him when it comes to trying to struggle through the humidity, cover the distance, you know, at weighing 200 pounds, because I hover around over that. But my goal is obviously to get back down to that. So we have a lot in common when it comes to that kind of stuff, and I like to talk to him. So he's definitely got some training ahead of him. I know it's kind of hard to hear that conversation. However, he's had some plans to go out and do some running in the Blue Ridge Mountains, which is the closest thing we have to mimic the climbs that they have down in Georgia. Here in Central Virginia, we're 2 hours to the beach and 2 hours to the mountains. So you get up early enough on a Saturday, you can get out there and run a couple hours in the mountains and get some lunch and head on home. So I'll follow Keith's progress. And I'll check in with him maybe from time to time and give back a report in the podcast if I'm able to get some information from him. So, if you listen carefully in there, you'll have heard that I did mention the CNO Canal 100 miler. I have an interest in that. I do turn 50 in May of next year. That race is late April of next year. It's in Knoxville, Maryland, which is about 2.5 hours from here. And that's the one that's on my radar. It's kind of the closest one. I don't want to be halfway across the country before I do something like this, because I want my wife to be able to be there, and hopefully my daughter too. And then maybe a crew. Maybe I can talk to Ashley Bryan into going, because Ashley and Tom might have an interest in that as well. And so I'm looking at that. They haven't set the race organizers haven't set the 2019 date for it, because the race just took place in late April of this year. So they have some time to recover and get everything set, and they'll probably set the date. But it looks like it'll be late April of next year. And I figure, why not attempt that in next year? You know, I'm turning 50. Why not? I have had an interest in it. My friend Sandy up in Michigan has repeatedly told me that it's worth trying. So that's the one that I'm looking at. And once the date is set, I'll start focusing on that. And which is why the 50 miler in February, I would like to go down and do that one again. I really liked it, the Light to Light 50. That would be perfect, because that's early February, and that would be a perfect time to have mileage up to that point that I can build on. Map run update. Okay, this was something that I talked about in the last show, or maybe the show before. This is the project where me and my three running buddies are attempting to run every road in the town at some point, and we're going to attempt it. I'm pretty sure we're going to complete it. It's just the question is how long it'll take, because what we decided to do was only count the runs if all four of us are there. And so there's been repeated weekends where one person wasn't able to make the group run. So we are making progress. We've done most of the four quadrant areas of the town. Town of Ashland kind of gets bisected by Route 1. And then a little bit to the west of Route 1 is the railroad tracks, double set of railroad tracks that go up and down what's called Railroad Avenue, and then kind of merges into what's called Center Street. And that's the northwest route. And so around those tracks, there's four quadrants to the town that have mostly a grid system of streets. We've pretty much completed all of those. We have some little cleanup blocks to do here and there that we missed. And so what we do is we run it, and I've got the big street map that I got from the town manager, and then we just highlight what we ran, and Ashland Bob tracks it on his device, so we'll know which rows we ran on and all that. And we're making a lot of progress, but we're getting close to the point in time where we got to do like a big section of Route 1, which kind of has to be done really early before traffic starts picking up. We're getting a waiver on Interstate 95, because that does come through technically the town limits, but that's obviously an interstate. We can't run on that. And then there's a Route 54, which is a route east-west route going through the town that could be a little challenging too. But we'll get it done. We're having some fun with it. It's always a special day when all four of us in my running group make it on a Saturday morning. And we can, in fact, this past Saturday was a special, because we didn't know that all four were going to make it. So we made it we call it a map run, and we get out the map and we decide where we're going to go for that day. All right, let's get to the email bag section of the show. Got a lot of emails, and let's see who checked in. Of course, we heard from Dr. Smitty, and he was doing the UROC Ultra Race of Champions, which was out in Montebello, Virginia, up in the mountains. And let me just quote one of his emails. This was after I had did the podcast about the DNF in the mountains, and he said, Dave, hope you're healing up pretty well from last weekend. Listen to the podcast. You have me scared shitless. I hope I can get some good hill training in before May. I still haven't fully recovered from getting run over by a bicycle. And I'm not sure if I put this in the show sometime back, but Greg got hit by a bike on he was running on a recreational path. I think it was down in the Chesapeake area. It might have been on the Capitol Trail that hooks up Richmond and Jamestown. I'm not sure. I can't remember where it happened, but I know he did get run over by a bike, and he was injured, and he was hoping that he would be able to do the 50K up in Montebello, which was where the Ultra Race of Champions was taking place. They have a 50K, 100K, and I think a 35K. Anyway, But he did try to meet up with Tim Smith from Ohio, who's one of the listeners to the show, who did finish the 100K up there in a remarkable 19 hours, 14 minutes. This is a mountain run. Tim's 56 years old. But unfortunately, Greg was a DNF, and it was just unfortunate. I don't think it wasn't because of not being trained. I think it was because of his injury is what I remember him telling me. And so I heard from Tim too, and I don't think he and Tim actually met up up there, but they did communicate over email about the show, about trying to meet up, and I don't think they did. Unfortunately, my memories, since it's been so long since I put another show out or talked to Greg, I can't remember if they were able to meet up. Anyway, I also heard from Keith. He said, first of all, you can be a middle of the pack if you want, but anyone with your marathon ultra resume plus your service, plus being a great parent and a Christian is not a nobody. Now that I had that off my chest, tell us in your next podcast about your nutrition and hydration at your DNF. It would seem to me that the first 8 mile uphill drained your tank. I'm sure you're giving some thought to how you deal with that for next year, hiking with poles maybe. So Keith, hydration was fine. I was carrying a water bottle and there was going to be sufficient space in between the aid stations to refill. However, the inclines were going to be such that the distance would probably seem farther. I had nutrition planned. I had a whole bin of stuff that was in my car that my wife was driving, and she met me. It was frankly, it was just the altitude. There's no way I'd ever last out running in a race out west without living out there and training out there for a while, or just being really hardcore here and spending some time up in the Blue Ridge Mountains on those trails. It's just not in my DNA, I guess, at this point. So that's about all I can say about the nutrition and hydration. It was a complete surprise. It was very, very humbling, to say the least. This is Keith Mason out of Georgia, I believe. Thanks for the email, man. I don't really know what else to say about that. I was just naive, let's put it that way. I'm not worried about saying that. But I do appreciate your compliments and your email. It means a lot. Yeah, heard from Tim Cleary out of Chattanooga area, Tennessee. Just congratulating me for putting on such a great podcast. It's great to listen to me. It's great listening to you. Yeah, it's great listening to me, of course. Tim's been a listener to the show from the very beginning, so it's always good to hear from him. He's extended invitations to me several times, coming out there running that Chattanooga stump jump. But I think it's mainly the problem I have, Tim, is the training through the summer to do an October race. And I don't know if you heard the tail end of that conversation that I had with Keith in that kind of pseudo interview. It was with the humidity up here. It can't be good for my health to go out there and try to run it. I have to kind of wait for things. I mean, the long, long stuff. I mean, I can barely do the half marathon in August. So appreciate the email, Tim. Really do. Heard from David Williams down under. Congratulations on the podcast 10th anniversary. So it's nice to hear. So apparently he had become unsubscribed to the podcast. So he's resubscribed. And, asked if I'd learned something from the DNF, and I hope you come back strongly. Yeah, always do. Definitely. That's not the reason why I was not putting out a podcast. I mean, I had a DNF before, and there's other things in my life that I hoped to accomplish and didn't happen. So it's not like I got into this deep depression or anything about it. I just wasn't prepared, and boy, I did learn a lot from that. Heard from Ryan up in Canada, and he is really getting into the cycling. He's doing some virtual, like an indoor cycling training program. But he was back in March, was part of a world-class training camp, something that was going to be online. Unfortunately, I missed that due to something else going on. However, he started a new company up there in Canada 1 year ago that seeks and helps new business partnerships. His wife's very successful. Ryan used to live down here in the Richmond area with his wife, Rachel, but she was Canadian, and they had to move back because she's a very talented singer, and she couldn't, because of the way the unions work here, or she couldn't get lawful employment here, from what I could understand. So They moved back, and Ryan, you know, obviously they were married, and they had a son, and Ryan moved back with her and their family. So now they have two sons, and they're living up in, I can't remember, somewhere in Canada. Let's see, Ottawa, I think is where he told me. So I hope you still listen to the show, Ryan. I've been way out of touch with you, and I hope you still listen to the show, and I wish you all the success with the cycling. He's living up in Calgary. He's done a lot of the cycling, and I'm curious, Ryan, are you still doing any running? So drop me a line if you get a chance, ashlanddave@gmail.com. Let's see, heard from, already saw Dave Williams. Richard Yarp out of the Woodlands, Texas. Richard is one of the original listeners. Good to hear from you, Richard. He said he was behind a couple episodes, and he said that he has been with me from the beginning. He said he remembers the pre-podcast videos that I'd posted. I used to have do some running videos before, I guess, the GoPro camera. Before that came around, where now you see those everywhere. So I kind of stopped doing those and just. I don't bring a small video camera along with me when I do my runs anymore. But yeah, you're right about those, Richard. I still have those. I think a couple episodes back, I've listed the movies and videos that I've made that are pretty decent. They're, you know, DVD worthy kind of thing. But Richard has kind of stopped running since last August. He rolled his foot, severely sprained it. And this is what's weird. He said he first started listening when he was 49 years old. Now, and he was running a lot. He was doing different things down in Texas. And then 10 years later, he's 59, he's hitting 60 at the end of the year, and he says it sucks getting old. He's in decent shape, said the body doesn't react like it used to, and likes to tell you loudly when you pushed it, thus his lack of motivation. So he's trying to get back in gear to do the annual 10-mile race in the Woodlands, which is in October. He had a 10-year streak going with it until October of last year, which I get that, man. That's how I am with the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. I've participated in it every year. The only year I didn't run it was the year I was on a call for work, and I participated in a water stop. So I that's why I say I participated in the race every year. But I've run like 9 of the 10 of them, so I want to keep doing it. So I hear you, and good to hear from you, Richard. Hope things go well, and you recover. I guess you're probably training for it now, if you're going to be doing it in October. I heard from Phil Men on the. Giving a shout out for the 10th anniversary and the DNF. He says he's had a couple DNFs. He's more prouder of those than some of his finishes because he worked very hard to get those DNFs. He hasn't listened from the beginning, but he's listened to every show. There was a point in time when he contacted me and asked if he could somehow get access to the podcast that existed before the Podbean platform they're being posted on. So I sent him a DVD or CD with everything that I had up to the point of where he started listening. And so he just went through them methodically, and he says we've covered a lot of miles together, me talking, him listening. And get this, Phil is at almost 260 marathons and ultras. It's remarkable, and he wanted to make a donation to ACES. And so I sent him the address, and Phil, that's very kind. Phil is a former band director, so there are a couple times I talk about my daughter's interest in the marching band. She plays the sousaphone, the biggest instrument out there. She's this little girl that plays the big instrument. And Phil, I think, was a band director and had some interest and knowledge of that, so we shared some conversations about that. Heard from Midlow Pete, and it had been a while since he checked in. Midlow Pete is somebody here Richmond metro area. He went to check in, make sure everything I was okay, because it'd been a while since I listened to the last show. And so I appreciate you definitely checking in with me, Pete. I really do. You're one of the reasons why I wanted to get another show out. He said he hadn't been running that much, which is unfortunate, but he's going to attempt the Night Train 50K again this June. That's the one I think I'll never do again, not because of the venue or the organization, but just because of the heat. That's the night race, and late June, early July. I did finish it the year. That's the year I had the discussion about the guy that passed me right at the end. And then I got some people really ripped me a new one on that one. So I have a different perspective now. Not because of people changing my mind, but people's perspective did help me change my mind. It gave me some stuff to think about I hadn't thought about yet. I've told him I'm pretty much done with the ultras this year. Like I've said, I'll do the Patrick Henry half, Richmond half, and then the light 50 and then maybe try the 100 again, or try the 100 in April next year. We'll see. Not again. I haven't done it yet. Heard from Brian Bearden, and I'm not sure where he comes. Oh, Fort Payne in Alabama. He says, Dave, hope you're not injured again. Take it slow on the back steps. Everyone misses the show. Thanks for all the time and effort it takes for the podcast. Looking forward to your return. Brian, very kind to reach out. No, I'm not injured. Just lost some motivation for a while, and I guess you heard me describe some of the personal stuff that was going on. And I really do appreciate the reaching out. It's Fort Payne, Alabama, Brian, out of that. Appreciate it. So I got one more email from Dr. Smitty that I wanted to share. He says his knee is getting better. He took 3 to 4 weeks off doing training and rehab, and it is the same place he injured when he got run over the bike in February. He didn't think he gave it enough time to heal. Okay, here's the email. He did not ever get to meet Tim at the UROC. He said he was at the pre-race meeting, but he didn't see him after he left, and the cell coverage was spotty up there, so it was hard to communicate. And he was a DNF on the 50K. Tim finished the 100K, but Greg was a DNF on the 50K. And I think he's done that before. Where if it just wasn't working out, he walked off the course. And I don't blame you. But definitely good to hear from you, Greg. It's been a while. He also asked me in his email if I'm retiring from the mic. Just giving you a hard time. No, I'm back. This is it's called New Episode, and I will definitely, I'll be increasing my runs a little bit more, I think, as things go, and definitely have some more fodder for the podcast. Sometimes it's just hard to have material, or when the house is quiet enough to put, you know, put together a show. So that's it for the email bag, but I want to take a moment before I end the show. Just to thank the listeners that listen and the people that check in and interact with me over in the podcast. It's and I know David Williams, Down Under Dave, there's a couple of emails of yours I haven't gotten to yet. I really do appreciate it, and like I said earlier in the show, I don't do the podcast for the feedback or for the attention, but I do like the commentary and the ideas and the interaction with people who listen to the show that might have a similar perspective or a different perspective. And as long as it's all done in a civil conversation, I can't say enough how much I enjoy that. And it's all because of the listeners. So I do appreciate all 219 of you that listen to the show. Hopefully you haven't abandoned me too much without having a show out in a while. But it's back, and that's why this is called New Episode. So this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.